faith-inspiring radio. This is UCB Ireland.
Helen Holden has joined me in the studio. Helen, good afternoon and welcome to Life Today.
Good afternoon, Tim. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. So, we have had the privilege, I'll say that, of having Alan in the studio with us for the last couple of months.
Indeed.
Talking about Christians Against Poverty in Ireland and all of the work that we have been doing. And the first time that Alan came in, we didn't talk a lot about Christians Against Poverty Ireland. We alluded to it, we talked about it, but we wanted to take the time to allow our listeners to get to know the person behind the role, if that's
okay.
A way to say
and
it.
And
so
yeah.
I think, Helen, it would be really great if we could do the same today with you.
Okay.
Who's the person behind the mic? Who's the person behind the role? Tell us a little bit about your faith story.
My faith story. Well, you can hear quite clearly that I am not from the island of Ireland. My accent might wander around a bit because I have lived in a lot of different places. But I was brought up in the UK to what a lot of Irish people find a rather strange concept in a family that had no faith at all. So that is very, and if you say that to a lot of Irish people, they are just like, I don't know, that they can't compute that. That's a bit odd. We didn't go to church. Nothing like that, okay? So my parents had sort of abandoned their childhood church going, and my mother has since come back to it, thank goodness. But I was brought up with nothing. And then as a teenager, I started to become a bit dissatisfied with my life. And one of the problems that you have if you don't have a faith framework is you don't have a sort of moral framework to live by. You make up your own moral framework, and I wasn't even succeeding to meet my own standards, never mind God's, as I later found out. So I was quite dissatisfied with life and dissatisfied with myself. And some folk in our school became Christians and got involved. The guy actually came, it was my last year of school, so leaving cert year, came into the school, sort of. He was a leader, and so he galvanized all the Christians, and the Christians all came out of the woodwork, started meeting together. I was like, oh, there's lots of them here. And but one of my friends had become a Christian a couple of years earlier, but it hadn't really changed anything for us. We still went out Saturday night, did the same kind of things you do when you're 17, 18. And but she started going to these meetings. So I said, oh, well, we did everything together. I went along as well. And I remember going on a Saturday night to a meeting, and I thought, I really need to tell her, because in England, you know that Christians want you to become a Christian. That's their big agenda, okay? And so, or it certainly was back in the 80s. I'm just giving my age away there. And so on the way to this meeting, I said, I better tell her. I said, look, Fiona, I just need to know, I'm an atheist. I'm not going to become a Christian, even though I'm going to this thing with you. And I was very clear about that. Well, I don't know. By the end of the evening, it was like a youth meeting. By the end of the evening, I didn't know anymore. I'd gone from an atheist, the first time I'd even said it out loud, to an agnostic. And I went home that night. What I found when I went to that meeting was that there were people from my school. They were intelligent people. You know, they did well at school. And I thought Christians were sort of weak people that needed a crutch in their lives, you know, and that wasn't me. But I saw them there and I thought, well, this is just a bit odd. Maybe there's something in it. And I went home and that night prayed my first very genuine prayer. I said, God, if you exist, you need to show me. Because I realised that that's quite an important thing. If God exists, it's important. I can't just ignore you. And 2 weeks later, I found myself on a youth retreat. How did I find myself doing these things? I don't know. Needed a break from studying. And literally the very first day we were there, in the evening, there was like a prayer meeting. We sat around in a big room. There was a lovely Anglican nun, you know, like call the midwife nuns. And she passed a candle. She said, I'm going to pass the candle around. Big old, you know, one of these big old houses. Loads of people sitting around in a circle. So I'm going to pass this candle around. And when you get the candle, you can either say a private silent prayer and pass it on or give thanks out loud or whatever. So I spent the time as this candle's coming around going, oh, gosh, this is awkward. This is really awkward. I'm just going to pass it along. It'll be fine. But about a third of the way around the room, all I can tell you is that the presence of God was just there. it like in a really, really tangible way. I am one of those people that has that kind of story. And once it came to me, I was just blubbering and going, God, I'm so sorry I ignored you all my life. I'm really sorry. I'll follow you the rest of my days. And I passed it on and I burst into tears. And that basically is how I came to faith. And from that point on, I was quite strong, I suppose, because I had gone from a position of zero faith to having faith in Christ. It was quite dramatic, and I was very motivated. And my husband had a similar story, and then we met later on, and we just were very motivated that people who don't know how great having a faith is and how real God is and the difference he can make, that we wanted to spend our life telling other people about it. So that led us down quite a road, basically, after
that.
Wow,
that's a beautiful story of transformation. And I love that every touch leaves a trace. And when we are around people who demonstrate the glory and the splendor and the beauty of God, it's hard to ignore it. And here you are now, because of what you witnessed God doing in the lives of other people.
It made me curious.
Replicating essentially what they were replicating and using your life as an example of what can happen when we submit and surrender to God. The really impactful thing about that is that when people have that dramatic transformation of coming from having no faith at all and believing there isn't a God, and dare I say it, that the world is an accident, and so on and so forth, wrestling with that thought to shifting to there is a creator, this is not an accident, I have purpose, you know, you become very secure in what you believe, because you've questioned it, you've sat with it, you've wrestled with it, and your outcome is actually not the outcome that you were searching for, but the one that you found. And there, no doubt, there's a lot of listeners today who find themselves in a similar experience, in a similar circumstance, in a similar situation where they are journeying and they are wrestling. And no doubt, in your work with CAP here in Ireland, you encounter people like that all of the time. So I want to play a song, if that's okay. And then when we come back, I want to talk to you about how you ended up in Christians Against Poverty here in Ireland.
You're listening to UCB Ireland, serving the church, reaching the nation.
You are here on UCB Ireland. Tim here on Life Today, joined by Helen Holden from Christians Against Poverty Ireland. So Helen, we heard your faith story. We heard how you got into this wonderful, beautiful, dynamic, life-giving relationship with Jesus, and how your husband and you had this just desire to help people get to know Jesus in the way that you know him. And so how does that then bring you into working in Christians Against Poverty here in Ireland? How did that happen?
Well, it's a bit of a story. So my husband and I, we came to Ireland in 96 with a view to plant a church. We did plant a church in Arklow and County Wicklow. And we were always looking for ways to connect with people. And my husband heard about CAP in the UK. And he said to me, he said, I think you'll like this. And I looked at their website and said, I do like this very much. This really floats my boat. And the same for another lady in our church. And so we approached CAP and we said, can we do your money coaching? And they said, yes, you can. I looked online and they had some training in Belfast and it was just a day. I said, sure, we can do that. Well, the two of us will go up there and do that. And CAP said, yes, you can, but you can't send anybody on to us who needs debt help because it's a different jurisdiction. You know, we can't help someone with their, you know, ESB bills. Do you know what I mean? Because it's a different country. So he said, that's fine. Can we just do the money management bit? Can we do that? And they said, yes. So that was 2012, November. My friend and I went up to Belfast, to Willowfield, and did a training course. And we came away with the books and, you know, the coach guide. And we were like, right, okay, what do we do now? And so we just decided we were going to try it out on the church. So we do that first. And I have to say, my friend was already quite good with money, having come through a debt situation because of ill health and that kind of thing. So she was quite good and quite familiar with the whole budgeting and all that kind of stuff. I was not. And I think it's an interesting situation, particularly for church leaders, but anyone in church, that we can feel quite ashamed about our lack of ability to manage money. And we didn't have a lot of money, and we just never could. We didn't make it work out very well. We were constantly at the end of our overdraft every month, that kind of thing. And so I was very good at making budgets. I was always doing budgets on the envelopes, so I could do the budgeting side of things, but I couldn't make it work in day-to-day life. So as we started to teach this money course, the money coaching as we call it now, as we started to teach it, I was also putting it into place in our lives, in our home, and it transformed our finances. And for over 10 years now, it has absolutely transformed our finances. That we use the system that we show people when we do the money coaching, and it just made such a huge difference to us. And I always found it just a really enjoyable ministry to be involved in. There were several things about the ministry that, even for listeners, if they're considering, should I think about becoming a money coach? One thing is that it is it's very practical. So there are always people in a church who are like, I feel really practical, I'm not musical, I'm going to lead worship, or, you know, maybe I don't think I'm prophetic, although probably a lot more people are prophetic than they think they are. But, you know, they have that, but they really want to do something practical. And it really floats their boat, the idea of helping people with their financial management, their money management. And so that, you know, that really appealed. So one of the things is that you do 4-week sessions generally. So it's not a ministry that you do every week of the year. You know, it's not like worship where you're on all the time, that kind of thing, or children's ministry when you're maybe on all the time. But it's actually a ministry that you do sort of seasonally. You might do money coaching sessions in the autumn, then you might do them in the new year, and then maybe you'll do another one in the spring. So, you know, it was very enjoyable because you never really got burnt out from doing it, because you only did it from time to time. And it's just so, I don't know, there's something about it that's just really seeing people's weight lift off their shoulders when they start to get control of their money is extremely satisfying. It's just a wonderful thing to be involved in. So we started and we ran the money coach and we went through the church. They were all very enthusiastic to do it. Ireland was still in the recession, really, you know, austerity years and everything. So everyone was quite keen to do it. And then we carried on and then we started offering it out into the community. And we met some lovely people, you know, from single parents to even, you know, a millionaire. Do you know what I mean? All sorts of people came through. And they all learned something from doing the money coaching. And they all, I remember specifically, there was one lady and she was a single parent. So she was on a small income. And often I think the people who are on very small incomes are like, I can't make this. This isn't going to work. I can't make it work. And she did her budget and she went, oh, I can make it work. This is fantastic. And to see someone in that position, and she made a few tweaks and a few decisions about how she was going to spend her money that made sure that her budget balanced and she stayed within her income. And, you know, she left really, really happy and relieved, you know, because often people don't want to even look at the situation. They don't want to examine it. They don't want to put it on paper because they just think it's going to be awful. But sometimes it's not as awful as they think it is once they get it structured right, you know.
I think it's human nature to think the worst. I'm not saying that that's a healthy thing, but I certainly have met so many people in so many different walks of life, not just in terms of finance, but just in terms of our perception, our negative thinking, our negative self-talk, our you know, that negative kind of self-belief imposter syndrome that we all have, where we automatically, the default seems to be that we think worst case scenario. Mm. And most people don't do things because they have this idea. But my encouragement would be, but what if it isn't?
Absolutely. And many people do. Or they even find that actually only is it quite a small change that they need to make that budget balance and to make it workable. It's the head, somebody said earlier on, you know, people just like to put their head in the sand. They get overwhelmed. And it's very easy to get overwhelmed. I mean, the last few years, through no fault of anyone in Ireland, we faced massive fuel bills, electricity, gas bills. Huge, like I never seen anything like it. And you become scared, you're scared and overwhelmed. And I think when you're in that situation, you just tend to just stick your head down and don't think about it. Where in reality, the best thing is to do is like lay it all out and actually see maybe it was bad. I'm sorry, but those electricity bills were horrendous, but it was bad. But when you lay it out, you can see your options. Otherwise, you don't know where you're going to go with it, you know. And so often people leave their money just in one big pool, in one big muddle. And one thing that we would encourage people to do is to separate things out for different purposes, to, so that you can see where you're at, and also that you can ring fence important payments, and you can also put some boundaries around your own spending, particularly on a weekly basis, so that you can start to gain more control. And feeling in control and knowing that your bills are going to be paid is one of the best things. You see people, the relief, I remember that. Like for the last 10 years, I have not worried about my bills being paid. I haven't ever. And okay, a little twinge with the electricity bills because they were horrendous, but you know.
And how much freedom is that going to bring to any household, knowing that there's a system and there's a structure in place that helps them live in freedom? And I suppose that's the beauty and the power of the money coaching course, but also working with a money coach, because when we are overwhelmed and we can't see the wood for the trees, actually having a fresh set of eyes and a fresh voice and a fresh perspective can be so healthy and so life-giving and so supportive. So, hey, I want to talk to you about the next big event that's happening in the world. Christmas is so many weeks away. And so let's play...
14, I think.
Let's play a... song, because that's what we do here on Life Today here on UCB Ireland. We love to have the chats, we love to play great music, and when we come back, let's talk about Christmas 2024. Tim here on UCB Ireland here on Life Today, joined by the legend. She's already a legend, isn't she? I'm sure you can sense this woman is beautiful, both inside and out. It's Helen from Christians Against Poverty Ireland.
Take us with you wherever you go. UCB Ireland.
We are here on Life Today here on UCB Ireland with Tim Shields, joined by a very, very, very special guest today, Helen from Christians Against Poverty Ireland. So Helen, I don't know how many days it is until Christmas. Honestly, I don't want to know how many days it is until Christmas. I know that it's happening on the 25th of December, and that I will be there.
That's good. That's good.
And I'm very grateful to have the most wonderful wife who is wonderful when it comes to finance, budgeting, buying gifts, wrapping gifts, thinking about gifts. She's just, I'm very blessed, let's just say. So she takes the thought out of it for me, and I'm very privileged. I don't have to worry about it. She just tells me how much money I need to give her.
Right.
And it's never...
And then sign the cards and, yeah.
Yeah, she might do that as well. she's very good at releasing me into the things that I enjoy doing and do well. But the reason I'm saying this is that I'm very privileged. You know, both Jenny and I have come out of addiction. We've come out of poverty. We've come out of brokenness. So we understand what it's like not to have. Mm. But we also enjoy the lives that God has gifted us and blessed us with now that we do have. Mm. And that we can enjoy a level of generosity that means that we can still keep a roof over our heads. And I suppose for a lot of people in the world today, and for no doubt a lot of our listeners today, they've just got the kids back to school, they've just had that outlay of the school uniforms, the new shoes, the new bags, the new coats, all of the stuff. Mm-hmm. And now, without even having time to catch a breath, we're talking about Christmas. And no doubt for a lot of people, they're terrified. They're terrified about the expense. They're terrified about the lack that they might have. They are probably thinking about expectations and probably placing some unrealistic expectations on themselves. How can CAP help with that?
Well, I think if you can get to a money coaching course near you, and there are a few happening this autumn, thankfully, but even if you can't, what we would suggest to you is that you take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and start to think about what is important to you. So what is important to you about Christmas? What is important, you know, is it all the gifts? Is it the people coming together? Can be very stressful, all that family coming together. Some people hate that kind of thing. But I suppose the one thing we would be saying to people is, think about January. And do you want to face January with a heap of debt and stress? And January is a long enough month as it is. You know, people find January very hard. I would have to say, in the last few years, I remember very distinctly the first year I went, oh, we have money in January. Well, that's novel, because for many years there was no money in the account in January. So as far as Christmas goes, we'd say, look, think about it. Don't go blindly into Christmas and just suddenly start spending or using your credit cards and this, that and the other. It's actually about 14 weeks. It's not days, but it's weeks. It's about 14 weeks. Now, some of that spending will happen a good bit before. Some people are super organised. They started buying Christmas presents ages ago. But for most people, you've got that amount of time to decide in those 14 weeks, how much can you allocate to Christmas every week or over the next 3 months? Depends how you'll get paid. But how much can you put aside every week or allocate so that you still have your bills covered? You've got to pay your bills because bills are essential. You don't want to lose your home. You've got to eat. You've got to, you know, pay your bills, that kind of thing. So look at that 14 weeks. I was doing some training early and then we're talking about someone who had a big bill coming up. It was actually a fine coming up. And they had so many weeks and they were, how am I going to get that money? How am I going to get that money? And in our discussion, we were saying, well, but if that person actually broke that down into the weeks that were available before they had to pay that money, it kind of reduces the stress of it. So you have to make some decisions about how much you can legitimately spend on Christmas. And do you really want the stress of having to pay for it afterwards, you know, on your credit card or by borrowing the money from goodness knows where? Do you really want that stress just for that one day or those few days? Or are you going to say, look, this is what I've got. How can I now divide that up? And say, okay, well, so much for the children, so much for mum and dad, so much for my spouse, for presents and things like that. So it's really a question about break it down and say, what can I actually afford? And there is a huge pressure, you know, there's this huge pressure to have this perfect Christmas and to have all the bells and whistles. And what I find often actually is the last few days before Christmas are some of the most dangerous days, because that's when you do the food shopping and you go a bit nuts. Do you need 20 quality streets? Do you? Not really. You know, and who's going to eat them? you stuff your face until Lent and then have to give them up again. You know, so just even taking some time to sit down and say, well, okay, how much money can we put aside every week? Can we allocate? And what do we actually want out of our Christmas? And particularly for Christians, you know, what do we want to be the focus of our Christmas? Do we want it to be on lots of extravagant presents, or do we, if you've got the money and you want to buy extravagant presents, buy extravagant presents. But if you don't, and it's going to put you into debt, stop and think, maybe even discuss it with your spouse, I don't know how that would go. I don't know. I think the ladies do most of the Christmas shopping and preparation, probably, don't they? And the men go out on Christmas Eve. But so just take that time and say, okay, over these weeks, how much can we put aside? How much can we allocate? or work backwards and say, okay, I want to spend this on Christmas. Well, do you actually have it over the months to come? Are you going to have to rob it from an important fund that you need for paying your car tax in January or something like that? So plan it out. Think about your values, think about what you want. I was in early education for over 20 years and I know a fair bit about child development, and I know and that what children want, particularly small children, they don't need a lot of toys, they don't need a lot of stuff, they want your quality time. Even if they might say they think they want those things, if they don't get them, they'll probably survive. But if they have quality time with mum and dad at Christmas and a bit of downtime, that is actually what they need, and what will feed their souls, really, and the spirits going into the new year. And think as well about going forward into the new year. You're like, well, do I want the stress? Do I want to be fighting and stressed because we can't pay the electricity bill in January, that kind of thing? You know, think past Christmas itself and make those plans, really, is what I would say. And just think about your values. And it's very countercultural because we're going to be bombarded. Marketing is very strong, very persuasive, very clever. And it's countercultural to say, I'm going to choose a different way of doing things, because actually it's more important for me to have peace of mind in January and not have big debts hanging over my head and enjoy a simpler Christmas than it is to just have what marketing people say we should have. You know, why do we live our lives according to marketing people's priorities, really, at the end of the day?
If it's any encouragement to any of our listeners, if you are of a certain age, I want you to think back to your childhood. How many Christmas presents can you actually remember that you received when you were a child? Mm-hmm. Very little, I'm sure. I'm thinking to myself, I can remember two off the top of my head.
I loved my Cindy horse. I got a Cindy horse one year. That was fantastic.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah. So there you go. Look, Helen, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
Really great to be able to start this journey and put a little bit of a voice to your name. And no doubt in the coming days and weeks and months and even possibly years, you and I will sit across from each other and chew the fat, and looking forward to the next time you come in to really just have this opportunity to highlight some more of the work that you guys are doing. But it was really nice to have you in to allow our listeners to connect with you, and hopefully as they connect with you, they will open up to receive from you.
Thank you for having me, Tim.
Brilliant. Hey, God bless you.